Today, we're discussing the continuing police war on communities of color. Doug George was joined last night by Estevan Nemhart, who discussed his clash in Massachusetts with the local police.
We're speaking today with Estevan Nemhart, an activist with the Young Communist League and with the United New York Black Radical Congress. We've spoken with Estevan multiple times on Riser Radio in the past about topics such as counter-recruitment efforts and the peace struggle, as well as CUNY activism. Today, we'll be speaking to Estevan about an experience he had in Worcester, Massachusetts, back in the first weekend of November. Estevan was there participating in a conference, the Millennium Youth Leadership Conference, and unfortunately had an experience with the police, an undesirable experience with unprovoked police aggression at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Worcester. How are you doing today, Estevan?
I'm doing pretty good, man. You know, just getting ready for the case and everything.
Mm-hmm. You got an arraignment tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to be going up there. We got a whole group coming from the city. I think it's going to be around 10 or 15 of us coming from the city. And then we have, like, a whole group of people that's going to be up there from the Clark University, where the conference that I went to.
Let me provide a sketch for people. I know, you know, we talked earlier, and I know that with the case tomorrow, you can't get into all the details right now. But basically, for folks, you were in town in Worcester at the Millennium Youth Leadership Conference. We'll talk about that in a little bit, at Clark University. And many of the youth participating in the conference were staying at the Crown Plaza Hotel.
Yeah.
And that's where you found yourself. It was late Saturday night, Sunday morning, and you were socializing in your room, not bothering anybody. You weren't, I don't know, harassing any people in the hotel, right?
Not at all.
Okay. If you were being loud, I suppose they could ask you to be quieter. Is that what happened? They asked you to be quieter?
No, they came in there and they asked us to leave the room.
To leave the room?
They asked everyone to go home, like to go back to their hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about like they said that there's some policy at that hotel that you can't have over six people in the room at one time.
Six people of color or just six people?
Well, I think it's six people of color.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Like, my sister, for instance, she goes to a lot of these type of, you know, conferences. I don't really, you know, the organizations I work with usually ain't got hotels for us. We got, you know, rugs and sofas or whatever. But she goes to a lot of these type of things. And she says that every time that she's been at, like, you know, kind of get-together where it's been, you know, people of color there, that it's been broken up by the hotel. So I think this is some type of policy that these hotel chains have.
So they asked you to leave.
They asked us to leave,
mm-hmm.
and we were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But we were complaining. Like people, you know, a bunch of the people in the room were wondering why it was that there was room that was right down the hall from us, but instead of having, you know, a bunch of, you know, young people of color in it, had white people in it, and they weren't being bothered. We had just finished a beautiful conference, you know, a beautiful conference, the Millennium Youth Leadership Conference, where Manny Marable had just given the keynote speech of the conference earlier that afternoon, speaking, you know, just kind of talking about the history of racism and our ability to overthrow it and all that type of thing. And it was just kind of like, really, like, what's going on right now? So we asked her, you know, like, we asked her about that, like, why she didn't say anything to them and that sort of thing. And then as soon as people questioned her, she said that we would have to leave the hotel. And you have to understand that we had over, like, I think over 100 people that were staying in that hotel. We had just rented the ballroom of that hotel for the party. And further, you know, Worcester isn't all that big of a town. I mean, no offense to anyone from Worcester. You know, it's a nice town besides the police. It's not all that big of a town, though.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come for graduation, you know, that I think that most of the families that you know, for the Clark parents, they stay at that hotel. You know, so this, to us, it really felt like she was really blowing us off, and we felt it was racism.
So the manager asked you to leave?
What happened was, they told us to leave. As soon as people, you know, like, questioned her intentions and kind of her motive for coming to our room, she said that we would have to leave the hotel, period, not just go to the, to back to our room, as she had originally said. And when I heard this, I said, you know, what's going on? If you want us to leave, I think that we should get a refund. And as soon as I did that, I think that she kind of targeted me out for the problems. As soon as we said the thing about the refund, she said that she was going to call the police, and that all of us had to leave the hotel immediately. So what we did was we went downstairs and we waited.
You waited for the police.
Yeah, because I mean we didn't think that it was going to be Klan style police. You know, we thought it was actually going to be, you know, they would ask us what happened and we'd explain it to them and they'd tell her, you know, like, what's going on, miss, you know.
So what happened? They came and did they ask you what happened?
Nah, they came and they asked who it was, and then they said the hotel manager pointed at the group of young people that I was with, and then they came up to us and they said that we all had to leave.
So what did you do?
So I asked about the refund.
Mm-hmm.
Said no. Then I asked if we could get our stuff.
Yeah.
Said no. And so then I just left. My brother came over. He's like, let's go. So we just started walking out of the hotel together. And you know, everyone else was walking out their own way. But mm-hmm. then the police ended up following me and my brother, and they started taunting us as we were mm-hmm. leaving the hotel. And not before long, they were running at us, and they didn't tell me I was under arrest. They didn't tell me to stop. They didn't say anything except for, you know, start pushing me and macing me in the face.
How are you feeling, by the way?
Me? Well, yeah. I feel good, man. I took a beat down before.
It's been over a month of recovery, but...
I'm good. I mean, my eye was messed up, but I mean, what really bothers me more than anything, because like I'm saying, you know, I grew up in the city and all that, and, you know, it's not like that was the first time that I had a black eye or anything.
Right.
But... My real problem is just seeing how hard it is to fight this. Like, for instance, just as far as the legal fees, like, my lawyer, it's a great lawyer that I have, but it cost her, you know, $3,000. It cost me $3,000 for this, you know, that I don't have.
That's
and
right.
That's just for me to not have a damn record, you know? That doesn't even say anything to the fact that I was abused or I was beat up by the police, that, you know, after spending all this money and going through all the trips up there to Massachusetts and whatnot, that's just going to mean that I don't have a record. You know, mm-hmm. then when I do, which I will, press charges on them and all that, that's going to be a whole other set of things, a whole other set of legal fees and a whole other set of trips up there. Just, I mean, to me, it's really amazing, you know, that we're in the year, you know, 2003, and, you know, it's so hard for someone that's been beaten by the police, you know, to get justice. When I was in the courtroom there in Worcester, Massachusetts, it was amazing to me to see how many people had black eyes in there. And I could only imagine that it was from the same thing that happened to me.
I wonder if you could just wrap up what happened, what you were charged with, and what's going down tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is that my charge is disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. But anybody who knows that, you know, basically the police know that's the charge that you get if you get beat up by the police. You know, when I was taken away to, you know, to in the paddy wagon or whatever to go back to the precinct, my stepbrother asked me, he's like, yo, you know, what are y'all arresting them for? And they said, we don't know yet. So, and this, mind you, this is after I've been maced, you know, kicked in my eye repeatedly when I was laying down handcuffed on the floor. I mean, and they still didn't know, like, why I was arrested.
So they're charging you with resisting arrest. You're going to plead innocent tomorrow, not guilty.
Yeah, not guilty.
And,
And I'm also going to file charges against the police tomorrow.
Exactly. You're going to file charges. And you're going to do so with the support of activists from Clark University.
Definitely. And from the community.
From the community.
Definitely.
That's great. That's good to hear. You know, so many cases of police brutality go untold and people don't necessarily get that support. And of course, you know, on the national scale, we don't always hear about what's going on in other communities around the country. I was looking today, reading some local news, and I was kind of shocked to discover how many other disturbing stories of police brutality there are going on right now, right this week. In Charleston, just about a week ago, police came into a high school with guns out and dogs mm-hmm. on a supposed drug bust mm-hmm. based upon something seen on the, you know, the high school security cameras. No drugs were found. The students, their rights were violated. They're charging, they're suing a class action lawsuit. In Cincinnati, a person of color was killed by the police just a few days ago. They beat him, and of course, they're saying that, you know, his cause of death was not the beating itself.
Yeah, they call
some
it
sort of
delirium.
Condition, some sort of, you know, thing, problem of his. In Minneapolis, communities are rallying about multiple cases of police brutality. I guess what I'm wondering here is, I guess two questions. One is do you think it's getting worse? It's just staying the same? And secondly, what about the struggle? Does our struggle evolve as this keeps on happening?
Oh, definitely. That's a very good question. I mean, on the first thing, I think definitely I would say it's getting worse. To me, this I think that this has a lot to do with what Bush represents. And I think that really what we're seeing is exactly what has brought so many people into the struggle for peace and justice in this country and in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Du Bois when he wrote the Souls of Black Folk, that he one of the pillars of that was saying that when there's war and reaction abroad, there's reaction at home, and that the two things are inseparable. You know, we've seen it, you know, here with what happened to our anarchist comrades out in Brooklyn, that the reactionary forces here just feel like it's open season. They can do whatever they want to do. You know, what our president is doing, why can't I do it? I think that's what's happening there. But as far as our movement and reacting to it, let me just tell you one thing. I went to one of the schools that we work with uptown, and Westside High School.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great, great group of people out there. And I was telling about my case and everything, because, you know, I was talking about the other stuff with the peace and justice. And I asked them, you know, how many of you knew somebody that this sort of thing had happened to? And the whole class raised their hand. You know, so I think what that says to us is that we need to really kind of think about how we're going to incorporate everybody who's being affected by this truly, you know, unhuman governing that's going on in our country right now. And just, you know.
And so does our strategy change, you know, tomorrow as you wage that battle? Are you trying to learn from how the fight has been fought before?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think, well, the first thing is that with my case, I mean, I'm really trying to make sure that the charges are dropped, you know? You know, I want to have a clean record. I don't think it's going to help me out too much to have this or that charge on my record. But I'm definitely not going to cop no pleas or nothing like that. You know, I'm trying, as far as, like, you know, whatever legal expertise my lawyer has. And then I know that definitely on our side of things, what we're saying is that we need to, you know, we need to bring, you know, pressure. Like, that's why we're going to be filling up the courtroom tomorrow for the arraignment. If the charges are not dropped then the hotel can definitely expect some picking in front of their premises on their best business nights. And the police the same. So, I mean, I think that we're definitely trying to do that. But then on the other hand, I think that we're trying to figure out how we can really effectively combat this change that's happening as far as what's going on in policing. And I mean, in general, that, you know, violence, especially against people of color, especially against poor people, has existed since there were police in this country, especially in New York, gearing up for the RNC, that it's coming in a more, I guess, a dictatorial way, where they're really trying to intimidate people from dissenting, where they're really trying to say that if you talk back to me, if you don't do as I say, that I have a right to arrest you, or I have a right to beat you. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we definitely have to find out ways that we can go offensively against that, as opposed to just defensively not, you know, fighting the charges. So in that spirit, I am going to be delivering a complaint to the police department. And then we're going to be putting our heads together as far as how we can learn from the struggles of the past and file the civil suit in a way that's not only going to get, that's not going to just be there to get money, but it's going to be there really to change how the people of Worcester and the people who go to Worcester are treated by the police.
Esteban, we'll be talking with you more in the future and keeping up on this case and the larger struggle. I wonder if you could let people know if they want to stay in, you know, informed, they want to get involved, if they have an experience themselves that they'd like to talk about, what groups can they contact?
They could definitely holler at the Black Radical Congress, mm-hmm. Education Not Incarceration. That's the United New York local. You can reach them at that's the one I belong to. You can reach them at 646-437-5354.
Mm-hmm. Could you repeat that?
646-437-5354.
In the Black Radical Congress?
That's the Black Radical Congress. And then if you want to check them online, that's blackradicalcongress.com. That's for the national. Again, blackradicalcongress.com.
Okay.
And basically, you know, anything, any questions you have or anything, you could just call that number, and they'll put you up to date with what's going on.
Great.
And if you want to donate anything like that, you could call them too.
I wish you luck tomorrow. Thank you for helping us, and luck to you.
Definitely, man. So everybody, you know, I think this goes to say again that, you know, this is why we're in the struggle. It was never, you know, I know me personally, I never got into it for a volunteer effort. I got into it because, you know, this is the type of stuff that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, you know? So, I mean, I hope that everything I spoke about today will make people, you know, just see the need to really keep on building, you know, peace and justice as a force in our communities and, you know, get out there for November next year to beat Bush out the White House.
I got so much love for y'all, and this one goes out to y'all. Believe me, with all my heart, and I just want to say one more thing.
This is Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM. That was Doug George interviewing Estevan Nemhart from Uptown Youth for Peace and Justice. Today he is in Massachusetts at a court hearing, and we wish him the best of luck.
Also tonight at Shoshama, which is on 113th West, with address is 113 West 42nd Street, Unbroken Voices presents Writing on the Walls, a night of art, poetry, and social justice. They will be reading from writings of incarcerated children.
Yeah, and that's from 5:30 to 10:30. So stay tuned. We'll be coming back to hear more of the recent police brutality against people of color and much more.